This is a powerful event in each one of our lives when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Christ used such powerful terms as being born again. How more powerful can you get than that? The idea that you have a whole new life in Christ. Well, that's because of the power of the resurrection. That sets us free. It sets us free from the sins that have so beset us through our lives. God tells us that when we receive Christ as our Savior, our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, that we are made clean through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'd like you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, verses 1 down through 26. And here we find a very powerful text about the resurrection. It's the Apostle Paul writing about what he himself had declared unto him and how he had been instructed and what he had learned about the resurrection. I want you to listen as he pens these words under the inspiration of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. As you hear the apostle pen those words, as you hear him talk about himself as the least of the apostles because he had persecuted the Christians, he had persecuted the church, he goes on and he references grace, the grace of God that changed him and made him into who he would be for the power of God. You see, the gospel itself is rooted in the freedom that the resurrection brings to you and I. When we accept Christ, we by faith believe that he died on the cross, that he was buried, that 3 days later he rose from the dead and ascended up to be with the Lord. That is the gospel. That is what our belief system is entirely built around. For Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, the gift for all mankind, that we ourselves might come in repentance to salvation. So when you hear the apostle write those first few verses in this chapter, he lets us know who he is, what he had done, and how that God had changed him through the grace of God, setting him free from his sins that he might be an apostle, a representative of God, when he himself had been a persecutor of the believers of Christ. We see the power in that message when you see the changed life in the Apostle Paul. When you go a little bit farther down in the text, verses 5 on down through, you see the power of the gospel is rooted in the resurrection. He wants us to understand that the apostles themselves, they witnessed this amazing event. When you look here at verse 5, it says in our text, and that he was seen of Cephas. And of course, Cephas is Aramaic for stone. It's Peter. He says, Peter saw the resurrected Christ. Then he goes on in verse 6. He says, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. The resurrected Christ seen of a mass group of people. Then he goes on and he says, and again, he revealed himself unto the apostles. Then he went on and he revealed himself unto James. He revealed himself to other individuals before he ascended up to be with the Heavenly Father. We see a miraculous event that was witnessed by many, many people as those people put their faith in the resurrected Christ, that they themselves might experience salvation, forgiveness, and newness of life. The resurrection, it is the power of the freedom that we enjoy as Christians. When we get up each morning and we start our day and we say, Lord, be with me, we're praying to a living God. When we end our day and we say, Lord, forgive me for the sins that I committed this day, and He is faithful and just to forgive us, it's because He's a living God. We rest in that power. We find peace in that power. We find hope in that power. You know, when Christ told us in John chapter 14 that I go to prepare a place for you, that is the living Christ who's gone to prepare a place for you. And He says, I will come back and I will bring you unto myself. That is the living Christ who one day, and every one of us will face that day. It is appointed unto man once to die. We'll all face that day. But Christ says, I will come. And I will bring you to that place that I've prepared for you as a child of mine. I will walk through the very valley of the shadow of death with you, that you might have my peace. There's tremendous power in the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we are without hope. When you come down to verses 12 on down in the text in 1 Corinthians, listen to what it says. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Paul is saying, if you and I are not going to experience the resurrection, then Christ hasn't experienced the resurrection. And if Christ hasn't experienced the resurrection, we are without hope. So he's educating us. He wants us to understand Christ is the first fruits of that great resurrection. Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. He wants us to understand the power of Christ's resurrection is what all of our salvation hinges upon. The power of Christ's resurrection is what all of our hope hinges upon. It is because he did die. It is because he was buried. And it is because he rose again that we ourselves look forward to that day when we shall rise to be with him forevermore. You know, the Bible teaches us that when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But it also tells us that one day our very bodies will resurrect. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's incredible what God is going to do. And it all hinges on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, he says, our preaching is in vain. Without the resurrection, he says, our faith is in vain. Without the resurrection, those before us have perished. And without the resurrection, we are of all people most miserable. But with it, Christ is the first fruit. With it, Christ shall be made alive. And with it, Christ reigns in heaven above. Christ has defeated death with the resurrection. Listen as I read to you verses 23 on down to verse 25. It says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, whom he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, reigning as all powerful. And all of it hinges on the resurrection. You and I this morning, as we come and we recognize and celebrate our resurrected Christ, we understand that the power of the resurrection has set us free. Those sins that so weigh us down, those sins that so hinder us in our lives, they can be discarded as we find victory in Christ. Those fears that we face in life, we can lay them at the foot of the cross, and we can find assurance in the living Christ who resurrected, knowing that he cares for us and he intercedes for us day by day. In the resurrected Christ, the power of that event, we find our faith. The faith that God left heaven above, born of a virgin, took upon himself the form of a man, that he might walk upon this earth and minister and be rejected and be crucified and be buried, but resurrect. That is what our faith hinges upon. That is what we are celebrating today. That is what we celebrate every Sunday morning when we come to worship, the fact that our Christ lives. And even at this very moment, from heaven above, he looks down and he says, "Come, come unto me, all ye that are weary, that I might give you rest." From heaven above, he looks down at every soul in this room and every soul around the world. And he calls and he beckons to us, even as the book of Revelation says, he knocks at our heart's door. He says, "If you will hear me, if you will hear my voice and let me come in, I will come and sup with you." That's the living Savior reaching out into your life and into my life. Each of us, if we take just a moment, if we will reflect over our lives, you can hear that knock. I certainly remember it when I was a boy, God sparking in me that realization that there is a God, when I really didn't know anybody who worshiped God. But God was knocking. And as I became a young man and was in high school and experiencing all the things of life, still God was there knocking, bringing somebody across my path, somebody mentioning to me on the job site when I was working construction that they were a Christian and I needed Christ, and God was knocking at my heart's door. And in your life too, you can remember times when God came by and knocked at your heart's door, and he stood there, the living Christ, and he said, "Listen, listen, I am here. Open the door. Let me in." That's the power of the resurrection. For Christ desires to save your soul and mine, that he might abide with us and we might abide with him forevermore. I'd like you to bow your heads with me as we come to the end of the service. And as your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, I ask you, what do you do with the power of the resurrection? What do you do with the living Christ who's knocking at your heart's door? What do you do with the reality that he conquered death so that you could experience life? This morning, as our heads are bowed, you that are Christians, we need to pray a prayer of celebration and thanksgiving. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ, make today the day. Respond to that gentle knock of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. Confess to Him that yes, you are a sinner, for we all are. Acknowledge that Christ died on the cross for your sins. And ask Him to apply the price paid to your soul. Accept Him today as your Savior. Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation time, if there be one person here that needs to come and receive you, I pray you'd give them the courage to slip out and come to this altar. For each of us that are already Christians, Lord, I pray that you stir within us a renewed vision and understanding of the power of the resurrection. Help us to lay aside our complacency, our indifference, and help us to re-embrace the marvel of the living Christ. Lord, we thank you. We pray for your Spirit to move and guide, stir us as we come into this invitation time. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's all stand, and we're going to sing.